Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 11th November 2022, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Michael Owen, MUFG's Head of Global Client Desk for EMEA in London. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Afternoon, Michael.
Wow, that has been some week we've just had for the financial markets. There's been big moves everywhere, including for the US dollar. I noticed you recently cut your long dollar trade view and signaled a neutral stance last week for the first time in a long time. What do you think the implications are for the US dollar after yesterday's weaker than expected inflation print?
Yes, it's been some week, Michael, you're right. And, you know, the inflation print has really triggered a pretty big response. The dollar now from last Friday is down about 5%. So that is a big, big drop for the dollar in just 1 week. And the obvious question is, you know, is it justified based on the inflation data? The obvious first point to make in answering that question is, of course, it's just 1 month of data. And therefore, we need to be careful about the conclusions we draw. But at the same time, it's difficult not to conclude that this is pretty significant. We have had a few previous downside misses in inflation, but you really get a sense that this is more significant. And I think the reason why it's more significant is obviously over the last month or two, well, definitely two, really, over the last 2 months, we've had a build-up of pipeline inflation data that has clearly signaled the potential for a turnaround in the official data. And for a couple of months, the markets were anticipating that and kept getting disappointed. But finally, it came in the inflation data yesterday. And, the downside miss in the core CPI month on month to three decimal points was 0.272%. That's the biggest divergence from the consensus since the entire inflation shock began in March, April 2021. So, you know, that in itself was significant. I also had a look through the subcategories and the sub-subcategories in core goods inflation. 41 of those declined month on month. And that compares to 30 the previous month. So, in other words, the decline in inflation is broadening out. And that, I think, is significant as well. And then, of course, services, excluding rent, was down at 0.1%. Excluding rent, of course, rent actually accelerated a touch. But again, I mentioned the pipeline inflation giving evidence of declines to come, which is becoming evident, but not in rents. But the pipeline rental data is also indicative of a turn at some point soon. There is this lag between contractual rents coming down because you need those contracts to expire and then to be reset. So it's difficult to pinpoint precisely the lag, but you know, new rental prices are going down and that does start to get reflected into contractuals gradually. And some of the pipeline evidence suggests that we're there or thereabouts in terms of a turn. So when investors incorporate the potential for rents to start coming down as well, on top of now the evidence that other aspects of inflation are coming down, you do get a real story of peak inflation. And, you know, we could be now talking about, you know, three peaks: peak inflation, peak rates, and peak US dollar. And I think certainly from the perspective of our forecasts, where we had maintained a dollar bullish view through until the end of this year, and we had like euro dollar, for example, at 95, and DXY effectively at around the 114 level, you know, you're talking now about a 7% divergence from today's spot. And I think it's very unlikely we're going to get a 7% rebound in the US dollar between now and the end of the year. So I think we're going to have to adjust our dollar levels lower. You know, the Fed has not yet pivoted, but the market has pivoted. And that is crucial, and it's important. Is the market entirely wrong? I don't think so. Of course, the Fed's rhetoric will remain very hawkish. And of course, we did have evidence of that in comments from Fed presidents yesterday, talking about it's better to do too much rather than too little. And I expect that hawkishness to continue because financial conditions are now easing and the Fed will be a little bit uncomfortable with that. But I'm not sure the hawkishness from the Fed is going to be enough to turn the markets around. And in that sense, I think, you know, the dollar peak for now is definitely in place and indeed possibly for the cycle. And in that sense, it's significant. I'm not suggesting we're not going to get periods of dollar strength. There are challenges ahead in 2023 in terms of quantitative tightening, shrinking liquidity, headwinds for equities that still lie ahead. But I think, you know, over the short term, the dynamic has changed and is definitely more favorable for some further dollar weakness from here.
That's very interesting, Derek. So further dollar weakness is foreseeable in the short term. Do you think this means a stronger pound then going forward? We also have a big event this week with the budget statement from Chancellor Hunt. Do you think this announcement will be a market mover for the pound?
Yeah, it's a big event next week, Michael, you're right. You know, the fiscal announcement will be on the 17th of November by Jeremy Hunt. And, you know, sterling has obviously bounced versus the US dollar, just like the rest of G10 has. But I think it's interesting that when you look at sterling performance versus other currencies within G10, the outperformance is quite narrow in terms of the currencies that the pound has done better against. And for example, you know, euro sterling has held up during this big move of dollar weakness and risk on. And generally, historically speaking, when you have kind of global risk on, euro sterling tends to move lower. So I think there is a kind of a negative aspect to pound performance, even though obviously pound versus dollar has moved strongly higher because of the dollar weakness. And I think that reflects, number one, the some uncertainty in terms of next week and that fiscal announcement. But of course, the backdrop is still pretty grim, and we had confirmation of that with the GDP data today, minus 0.2% in Q3. So, you know, the Bank of England is now projecting between 5 and 8 quarters of contraction, depending on where you pitch the terminal rate. At unchanged rates at 3%, we're talking 5 quarters of contraction. They're going to hike again, so it's possibly 6. So, you know, that's a grim outlook ahead. And, you know, today, for example, property companies in the UK reporting a dramatic plunge in demand over recent weeks, as much as 50%, 50. So that's kind of a warning sign in terms of what's happening in the property and housing market. And then on top of that, you know, the GDP contraction in terms of what it means for consumption and business investment and all of those components were disappointing. And it kind of sets up a difficult kind of announcement for Jeremy Hunt next week. And, you know, there are reports now that the government spending reductions are going to be post-2025. So what we could be seeing is the tax rises kicking in first, and then the government spending cuts coming later in the time horizon. And, you know, that takes some of the near-term drag on growth away. But, you know, let's remember that those forecasts that I mentioned a moment ago from the Bank of England, 5 to 8 quarters of contraction, there was nothing in terms of fiscal consolidation in those assumptions, because of course the government haven't announced those details. So, you know, net, there's still going to be a drag on the economy from the fiscal policy. Even though some of it might be delayed, it's still going to weigh on performance, although there might be some relief that the government spending components are being delayed for a number of years. But still, tax rises are going to be a notable drag on the household when obviously the cost of living is hitting households. So I guess the key thing is that the pound can continue to perform well against the dollar, obviously in circumstances of what's happening with the dollar. But we're still expecting some underperformance to be evident for the pound versus other currencies. And that's simply because of the grim outlook ahead.
Okay, thanks, Derek. And I mentioned at the start, I noticed you'd cut your long dollar trade view as well a few weeks ago. Could you please give us an update on what you currently have for your trade views for the FX Weekly?
Yes, indeed. We cut our long dollar trade views, and we've kind of gone in kind of cross-currency trade ideas, excluding the US dollar. So we're still running a long Australian dollar versus the Canadian dollar. And part of the thinking in that trade idea was, number one, Aussie is a slightly higher beta currency than CAD. So if the dollar's weakening, you would expect tend to outperform the Canadian dollar, and that's certainly taking place. And also then, you know, this building speculation about a shift from zero COVID policy in China, that would obviously also lean towards Aussie outperforming the Canadian dollar. And indeed, we've had confirmation of that from the Chinese authorities today in terms of an easing of zero COVID restrictions. So that should help Aussie to perform well from here going forward as well. So we'd expect long Aussie CAD to continue to perform well. On top of that, we're establishing a short pound versus the Japanese yen. And again, based on what I said a moment ago in terms of the performance of the pound, we think shorting the pound versus some other G10 currency makes sense. And of course, dollar yen has had a big move to the downside. And, you know, the currency that was most stretched and underperformed the most in terms of the period of dollar strength on higher inflation was, of course, the Japanese yen. So if that fundamental story is now changing, you would expect the potential for the yen to outperform. And obviously, with the Japanese authorities buying the yen through recent intervention, that could encourage the move as well. So short pound versus the Japanese yen is a new trade idea for this week.
Thanks very much, Derek, and wishing everyone a good week ahead.
And you as well, Michael. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.